Monday, January 13. First reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Brothers and sisters, in times past, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors through the prophets. In these last days, He spoke to us through the Son, whom He made heir of all things, and through whom He created the universe, who is the refulgence of His glory, the very imprint of His being, and who sustains all things by His mighty word. When He had accomplished purification from sins, He took His seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high, as far superior to the angels as the name He has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me"? And again, when He leads the firstborn into the world, He says, "Let all the angels of God worship Him." Haydock Commentary. God revealed the incarnation of His Son, as it were, by parcels and by degrees, at different times and to different persons, to Adam, to Abraham, to Moses, to David, etc., and in different ways and manners, as by angels, by immediate inspirations and revelations, by types, figures, and ceremonies. Last of all, by His Son, this true, natural, eternal Son, of whom we must always take notice, that being both true God and true man, by the union of the divine and human nature to one and the same divine person, St. Paul speaks of Him sometimes as God, sometimes mentions what applies to Him as man, sometimes as our Redeemer, both God and man. This must necessarily happen in speaking of Christ. But when we find things that cannot be understood of one that is a pure or mere man only, or that cannot be true but of Him who is truly God, these are undeniable proofs against the errors of the Arians. Whom He made the heir of all things. Heir is here not taken for one that succeeds another at his death, but for the same as Master or Lord. And though Christ be inseparably God and man, yet this applies to Him as man, because as God He was not constituted in time, but was always from eternity Lord of all things, with the Father and the Holy Ghost, by whom also He made the world. He is the refulgence of His glory, not as beams or rays are derived from a lightsome body, but by a necessary and eternal communication of the same substance and of the whole light, in which sense the Council of Nicaea understood the eternal Son of God to be light from light. This partly helps us to conceive the eternal generation of the Son from the Father, because the brightness is at the same time with the Son, though all comparisons fall short of this mystery. We may here observe the two natures of Christ. As God, He is the Creator of all things. As man, He is constituted heir of the goods of God. Not content to possess the inheritance of His Father in His own person, He will have us as co-heirs to share it also with Him. May we so live as to hear one day that happy sentence, "Come ye blessed of my Father." He is the very imprint of His being. In the Greek this is the character of His substance, which might be translated the express image. There are different ways by which a thing may be said to be a figure or image of another. Here it is taken for such a representation of the substance of the Father, that though the Father and Son be distinct persons, and the Son proceed from the Father, yet He is such a figure and image as to have the same nature and substance with the Father, as the Catholic Church always believed and declared against the ancient heretics, and particularly against the Arians. He took His seat at the right hand of the Majesty on high. This also may be taken to express the equality of the Son with the Father, if considered as God. But this sitting on the right hand of God, both here and in the Apostles' Creed, express what agrees with Christ as our Redeemer, God made man by His incarnation, and who as man is made the head of His church, the judge of the living and the dead. And so St. Stephen said in Acts 7, "I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." "You are my Son, this day I have begotten you." These words, though commonly expounded of the eternal generation of the Son of God in the day or moment of eternity, yet may be truly applied either to Christ made man by His incarnation or to Christ risen from the dead, as they are used by St. Paul in Acts 13:33. Because the same Christ both these ways is the Son of God. It was the only true and natural Son of God who was made flesh, who was made man, who rose from the dead. And the eternal Father manifested His eternal Son by His incarnation, and showed Him triumphing over death by His resurrection. Let all the angels of God worship Him. These words seem to be cited from Psalm 96, and they seem to be an invitation and a command to the angels to adore Jesus Christ when at the end of the world He shall come to judgment. This is one of the proofs which St. Paul here brings to show that the angels are inferior to Christ, because they are commanded to adore Him. Wherever the person of Christ is, there it ought to be adored by both men and angels, therefore also in the Blessed Sacrament of the Eucharist. The Gospel from Mark chapter 1 verses 14 through 20. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the Gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." They left their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. Haydock Commentary. By saying the kingdom of God is at hand, it is as if he were to say, "To this day the Mosaic law has been in full force, but henceforth the evangelical law shall be preached, which law is not undeservedly compared to the kingdom of God." Repent, therefore, says our Savior, and believe in the gospel. For if you believe not, you shall not understand. Repent, therefore, and believe. The merit of good works will not bring us to faith, but faith is the beginning of good works. We must observe that what St. Luke mentions relative to the calling of the apostles is prior in point of time to what is here related by St. Mark, since it is known that these disciples on some occasions returned to their fishing until Jesus called them to be his constant attendants.